Hello, guys. It's Abby and Jory, and we are back with two Kosh girls.
We hope you've been keeping it kosher in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, we hope you've been listening and sending, you know, sending our podcast to your friends. Hope all is well. This is awkward.
It's not awkward. I think that we're both just like kind of out of it. I don't know.
It's 10
p.m. here.
It's
I should be going 3 out.
3 p.m. here. Okay. You should be going out. You're not going out tonight?
I don't know. My throat hurts. It's been a very busy week, okay? Let me tell you, I've been a busy girl. Mostly one day of the week. I started this tradition on, I'm calling it, I don't know, there's Thirsty Thursday. I don't know. Okay, we'll call it Turn Up Tuesday, which I know is already a thing in colleges, but our college, Turn College for Women, it wasn't so much. But I signed up for a dance class with my coworker. It's hip hop, and I've been wanting to do this for years. Like, I used to do hip hop in middle school and then just fell off the bandwagon, but I realized how freaking happy it makes me, all those endorphins. Okay, so I've been going once a week with, I think, the teacher's a Maccabi cheerleader. Her name is Tali Khan, for whoever lives in Tel Aviv and wants to join the hip hop class and see me every week. But so I told myself, like, you're going to commit, you're going to go every week. And I remember at the beginning, I was so nervous and shy. And like, we do this thing at the end where you go in groups of three and you have to do it yourself. But now I like own it. Even if I don't know the dance, like, I rock it. And like, we take videos. If you want to check out my white girl dance moves on Instagram.
So good. You sent me the videos. You sent me the videos. I love them. I'm so jealous. You look like you're having the best time ever. Well, I'm like sitting in my bed eating potato chips.
Didn't you just run like a 10K? Was that not you? You're such a liar. Shut up.
I act like I do nothing. But yeah. I'm so glad you're happy, Abby, and loving the dance. But yeah, I just ran a half marathon like a week and a half ago. So it's 13 miles. Why the fuck I did it, I don't know. But it was in Cleveland with my family and my boy toy. We had a really good time. And I ran it in 2 hours and 14 minutes. Suck on that.
Yeah, that's good, right? That's amazing.
It's good. It's good. It's like, okay, the best you can actually do.
Really? Do you know what
I'm going to the Olympics?
I can't believe I believed you for a second. Not about the Olympics. I was like, wait, is that the best you could do ever of all time? Like,
no, I it's good for me, but it's like not amazing.
Yeah. But like, at the end, when you got to the end, like, did you feel like crying happy tears?
I was literally about to cry. Yeah. I was just like, thank goodness it's over. I can't believe I did it. I felt amazing. So on to the next.
Do you have the next one coming up?
I think next year. Next year.
Okay. So we have some time.
We have some time.
That's how endorphins change your life. If you're struggling with your mental health, I would know. At the end of every hip hop class, I feel like crying happy tears too.
Aww.
Yeah. So I get where you're coming from. And in Legally Blonde, Elle Woods says, what's her quote? Endorphins make people happy, and exercise gives you endorphins, and happy people don't kill their husbands. They just don't. Do you know what I'm referencing, Jory?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. If not, we're going to have to watch Legally Blonde again.
Okay. Wait. So
what else? I didn't even finish my Turn Up Tuesday. It's not over yet.
I know, okay. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Be better. Yeah. Oh, okay. So after I'm high on endorphins, all of the other girls go home. But what does Abby Adler do? No, she does not go home. She goes to karaoke night at the bar. This bar, I think I've spoken about before, right? My karaoke bar.
Yes.
Closed during Corona. Bounced back with a different name. And now, that's the goal. I'm sweating. I come in my workout clothes. If I have the chance, I shower. Yeah. But yeah, like, if I, you know, I'm kind of homeless in Tel Aviv, I bounce from friend to friend. And I end the night strong with karaoke. And I think that everyone should have, I think it's important to have self-care Sunday, let's say. But it's also important to turn up a little bit, you know.
For sure. I'm all about I'm all about running, working out, lighting a candle at night, self-care, and then going freaking crazy hard the next night.
Need an equal balance.
For sure.
I, as you all know, if you listened to the last episode, I have applied to a Jewish reality TV dating show where you meet with a professional matchmaker, and I don't know much about it yet. But I will say that I've had two interviews.
Ooh, Abby!
So you could say that me and the show are pretty much engaged. We're getting pretty serious. Yeah, I mean, it was it's weird to like. I mean, I know we have a podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about ourselves, but like, it's different when it's with you. It's weird to open up to like a complete stranger, you know.
So tell me, like, what were the questions that they're asking you? How was it?
A lot of it was like, you know, my Jewish identity and where I stand and why I'm ready to settle down right now, which I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, but I would love a cute little hubby, nice Jewish boy, and cute little babies. Like, you remember, Joy? Like, I got baby fever 2 weeks ago.
Literally.
Not 2 weeks, sorry. 2 years ago.
You were I was on the Israeli babies. Process. Literally not into babies like me. We're like, no, ew, why? Yeah. And then something happened and you're obsessed. I'm like, where did my Abby go?
Well, yeah, I just got obsessed with my campers. I wouldn't say babies because babies you can't really communicate with. But I want to get to the stage with the kids because elementary school kids are hilarious and my campers were so wholesome. And it would be very exciting to have some of my own. So, yeah, so they asked, like, why I feel ready for that. And then they also asked, like, why do I think I'm single? Like, do I think I'm hard to date? I don't know, Jory. Do you think I'm fucking hard to date? Because I think I'm pretty chill.
You're literally so easy to date.
Sorry. Thank you.
You are easy to date. You're not, like, hard. You go with the flow. You're chill. Like,
thank you.
You're pretty. You're fun. You're funny. Everyone loves you.
I was, like,
really
asking you for compliments. But, yeah, how I answered that question, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm too picky. And also I told them that I think that I'm very in the middle. You know, we always say we put the modern into modern Orthodox, and I feel like a lot of the guys that I'm into are too secular, and like other guys are too religious because I'm like very middle path.
Yeah. Will they have religious guys on it? Do you know?
I hope so. I mean, it's people that can apply like from all different, you could be any type of Jew. That's what they're looking for. So I am hoping they will find me my special guy. And I'm also hoping that I get on. I'm like talking about it like I'm going to be on the show.
You're going to be on the show, Abby. You're going to be on the show. You're literally like, you're an ideal candidate for this. You'd be so good. I'm so ready. I'm so ready to be famous because you're going to be famous.
Will you come on the show with me? Will you talk me up to all the...
Oh, my God. I'm going to be that person at the end. I'm going to be that person at the end who, like, you know how, like, I meet him at the end? It's like Bachelor, right?
They actually said they're not like the Bachelor. It's more of like documentary series. They're trying to be like more serious, but I'm sure that you know
okay,
like,
well,
I'm sure, like, as my friend,
you'll get to meet him.
Yeah just like force your show up to record, just show up filming, and they'll let you be on.
Okay, perfect.
I'll be like, my friend Joy's showing up. But that's what's cool, is that they actually found us through this podcast, and they also mentioned it. They were like, yeah, we figured that one of you had to be single, and I was like, I guess I'm the lucky girl because Joy has a boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah, but. I know. Now it makes me like, should I go back? Let me go back
think,
in time for
I think
a year.
That you and
no, Saul's great.
I think that you and like, Saul, you know. And, yeah, but you and Saul should go on the show and pretend to fall in love, like as if you don't know each other. That would
watch me like fall in love with someone else while we're doing the show. It's like he's there and trying, and I'm like, you know, actually, no. Okay.
Yeah.
Also listen to this. We're gonna get into a fight.
So we're just kidding. It's all fun and games.
All fun and games until we go on the show. Okay. Anywho, guys, we have Abby, so excited for you. Literally can't wait. All of our followers and listeners are gonna be cheering you on. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Next up, stay tuned after the break to hear from Margot Tweeto, the host of Kiss and Tel Aviv. We're obsessed with her content. She's obsessed. All about relationships, sex, and dating in Israel. And we're so excited to hear
female
from
positivity.
Her.
She is such a freaking rock star. I like kind of fell in love with her while speaking with her. So, and I wish I lived in Israel so we could hang out and be besties. But next time. But she's amazing. So stay tuned and she'll be on soon.
Hi, Coach Fam. We're back here introducing Margot Tweeto, the hilarious host of Kiss and Tel Aviv podcast, a Tel Aviv-based dating, sex, and relationships podcast. By day, she works at Melio Payments in Tel Aviv. And by night, she's an iconic content creator on TikTok and Instagram, bringing expats living in Israel the funniest stuff the Israeli dating scene and Israeli culture at large has to offer. Let's just say when it comes to Margot's content, no Israeli man is safe. Hi, Margot. Thanks so much for coming on the show with us.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey. We are so happy
Thank you.
It's been a long time coming. We've been trying to get you on the pod, so we're glad that we can finally do it.
Me too.
But so much to chat about. So you have a Tel Aviv podcast because Kiss in Tel Aviv. But how long have you been in Israel for? Because you're American, right?
Yes. I grew up in Denver, Colorado. I was born in Omaha, Nebraska, so I'm from the Midwest. I've been in Israel since the end of 2012. It's coming up on my 9-year anniversary. I spent 2 years in New York during that time with a previous job who relocated me back to the US for a couple of years. And the second I got a chance, I came right back to Israel.
That's awesome. Very exciting. So how long you've been there for since 2012?
2012. Yeah. Right? I did a Masnah program before that, which started in 2011. So that kind of added 5 months on or so. So,
okay. Were you like into like your Judaism and everything? Like, how did you get connected to Masnah and with Israel?
Sure. So my dad was born here and I did, he grew up in the US, immigrated to the US when he was 5. And my whole life, he taught me about Israel and how to maintain, you know, pride for being from Israel and for being Jewish. My family's actually mixed faith. So my mom is Irish Catholic and my dad is Israeli Jewish. So I sort of battled with a lot of different, you know, quite literally mixed faith feelings of, you know, just not really knowing where I fit in identity wise. But I always identified as Jewish. And that always led me to Israel. That was a central point to my identity. And so I did Masnah after Birthright. I came on Birthright and my parents back then, I think, knew that I was going to fall in love with Israel before I did. And they were like, we're not going to be surprised if someday you end up living there. And yeah. And then I came to Israel and then, you know, my Jewish journey led me to conversion. So I did an Orthodox conversion years ago now. And that's a little bit of how it all went down.
Oh,
now you're
wow.
9 years going strong.
That's
beautiful.
Right.
Love it.
Yeah.
So based on your social media presence, you've been on one too many dates with Israeli men. Like you said, you've been here for 9 years. So what the hell keeps you coming back for more with these Israeli dudes that you're just shitting on?
That's a good question. I think that a lot of people would probably look at social media and it would seem as though I'm having a lot of terrible dating experiences because those tend to be the ones that are the most entertaining and they're the ones that I like to share and make jokes about. What keeps me coming back for more is A, Israeli guys are really hot. I mean,
oh my God, totally.
I think we can all agree. And also I have had a lot of really great experiences too, in addition to the Israeli fuckboy Tomer types. So they're just fucking hot. Am I allowed to curse? Like, they're just hot.
No, yeah, that's fine.
They're just hot.
They are. Every time I go, it's like, oh, dreams. Or when you see like American guys in the US, you're like, they're hot. They're definitely Israeli or like Middle Eastern or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that. Okay. All right. So what are you on like? how's the dating scene been? Have you had any long-term relationships at all, or is it mainly like 5 dates at a time?
It's kind of all over the spectrum. My last long-term relationship was years ago now. I have been single with a couple of different, you know, situationships / shorter encounters and shorter-lived relationships with people. But yeah, I've been single for a really long time. I've been single most of my life. I've only had a handful of actual boyfriends, which is cool because I've gotten to experience the whole spectrum. And right now, my dating – I'm not actively dating at the moment, which has actually been really nice. And it's not for any particular reason. It just feels kind of like the right thing for me right now. And totally. I definitely had – currently on and off with the only – the Hebrew word for it is Yaziz, but he's a long-term – lover.
Hook up buddy?
Yeah. Okay. But he's also like a homie, and like somebody who we have a bit of a long history. So there's that too, which is actually pretty long term now that I'm looking back. I'm like, fuck, that's been like 2 years.
Oh, amazing.
It's been 2 years?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah. I know. Yeah,
there's no strings attached. It's right.
There's a deep respect and friendship there. So there's definitely, there's definitely that aspect to it. But I haven't really been in a place where I've been seeking long-term partnership for a while now. And so this situation has been, it served me pretty well. And it's respectful and it's fun. So
good.
So yeah.
That's important.
As long as everyone's on the same page and having a good time.
I agree. There's been times when we've like taken long. I'm like, all right, we're done. Fuck off. And then, a couple months later, we find ourselves back in each other's beds or lives or wherever.
I love it. And you are fluent. Obviously, you're fluent in Hebrew, but like how, we could have done this before, but like if you've been in Israel dating Israeli men, you're fluent, right?
Not quite.
How long did that take
Hebrew's, you? My Hebrew is really good, but it's definitely not fluent. I find it hard to express myself sometimes in Hebrew like a native would, but I get by and I understand a ton. And depending on the guy, I've had some guys where we speak a lot in Hebrew. I've had some guys where we never talked in Hebrew because Israeli guys love to practice their English. And, in their mind, it's kind of like, what's the point of dating an American girl if I'm just going to – I don't know. I just feel like they love speaking English.
I'd go for that then. Like,
And it's easier for me to call them out on their bullshit in English than it is in Hebrew. So –
And then Abby, what about you? Do you feel like you speak because you have the same cinch?
I went out with a French guy this year and that was really difficult because we were both not speaking in our native tongue. But yeah, for the most part, I just express myself in English and they express themselves in Hebrew and it worked.
Yeah, it's definitely the language. It's always funny. Here's one thing I always notice about Israeli guys, right? They'll be like, my English is not that good, I'm really insecure about my English. I'm telling you, it's not great. And then you get in bed with them and they're like, just like, turn over, you dirty little slut or whatever the fuck it is. And I'm just like, your English is pretty good, bro. Like, tell where you've learned a lot of English. Tell me you watch a lot of porn without telling me. Always find that funny.
Exactly.
Do they say it with like the accent?
Depends.
Yeah, like that makes it less attractive.
It's the porn in the movies that they see, and they're like, okay, this is normal and totally cool to say.
It's always funny when there's a language barrier when it comes to like dirty talk, because you're like in the moment, and then my friend once was hooking up with a guy, and he meant to say bounce, and he said jump. And so she was like, what do you want me to do? Like, it was just, So
it makes it fun. It makes it fun.
Yeah. Funny, for sure.
What are the most crazy red flags that you've seen with Israeli men that you've dated?
definitely the extreme mama's boys, particularly in Israel. I think it's just such a signal of attachment issues, and a lot of gender roles play into that a lot. And I think that extreme mama's boys have very set expectations of what they're looking for in intimate long-term relationships. And that is my number one thing. If I find that like his mom calls him every hour, and the way that he speaks to her and the way that they talk, and like, you can always tell when it's almost like you can tell the mom is going to be jealous of you, or that she just thinks that her son is the prince of the world. And that's my biggest red flag for Israeli guys, for sure.
I feel like Sephardi also have that very similar, like Sephardi specifically, and most of them are Israeli too, but I just feel like they love their mom, which is great, but sometimes too much.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. It's annoying.
Yeah. I mean,
come on. Like, let's grow up a little bit.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys have experienced it in you know, your dating in relationships as well. It's a big one. It's a big one.
I'm like debating, because I've had a guy tell me once that I was too close to my family. So then I'm like, wait, am I like the daddy's girl? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think the guys that I've gone out with, I've been like way more obsessed with my family. But yeah, like, of course, like there's a line.
find that American guys are not that close to their family and everything. Like, and aren't mama's boys as much as Israeli and Jewish.
Right. Sure. I also think geography plays a huge role in that, because, you know, a lot of us who come from the U.S. or, you know, certain countries, wherever, but mostly the U.S., you know, a lot of people move to a different state. They're used to living away from their families. Not everyone. There's definitely people who stick close to home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in Israel, it's so small that no matter what, you're within at least the maximum, actually, a couple hours away from your family. And in most cases, people stick pretty close to home. So, you know, it's Ima's Aruchat Shishi every week, you know?
Yeah. I was so jealous of Israelis in the army. They got to go home and they're like, oh, we haven't been home in ages. I'm like, there is no home here for the lone soldiers. So,
Yeah.
Were you in the army?
I didn't do the army. No, I came to Israel when I was 24. Turned 24 right after I made Aliyah. It was 9 years ago now. So I was a little bit too old for the army. But I think that there are things that are just intrinsically linked to the army and the Israeli experience that I kind of wish I had, in terms of especially fluency in Hebrew and just, you know, having that kind of experience. But, you know, I was a little too old when I made Aliyah to do the army.
Yeah. You dodged a bullet, trust me.
Yeah.
I had a crazy, you know, I got to have the whole American college kind of experience, which sometimes earns me a lot of points with Israeli guys. I let them take
that. Where were you in college?
I went to the University of Colorado in Boulder. So it was definitely a big party school. My life has changed a lot.
I've heard such good things.
Yeah.
Your life was what?
It's definitely changed a lot since my days in Boulder. So, to say the least.
Okay. So going back to Israeli men, we picked up on the fact that, and I'm sure all your followers have, that you've always trashing this one Israeli guy named Tomer, and we need to know, which Tomer hurt you? Was he one of the mama's boys? Because there has to be a backstory for your disdain for Tomer. We have to know.
Okay, I get this question a lot, and I'm really happy to be saying it on the record. So I've never actually dated a guy called Tomer, believe it or not.
Love it.
I use the name Tomer to describe your generic tank top wearing, jean shorts sporting, sandal rocking Israeli dude, right? And there's he's conventionally hot, right? A Tomer. And he, yeah, you know, he looks good, but there's just, he's just shallow. There's no depth there. And he's just like kind of uninteresting. And so it's kind of like how people describe, you know, white women who harass service employees in America, a Karen. It's my version of the generic name. And that's what a Tomer is. And so there was never actually a particular Tomer who, you know, who broke my heart or anything. I just chose this very specific, super common generic name. And that's how Tomer began. Okay, Tomer.
So that, I mean, was that. You really painted a picture. Like, I really thought he was real.
I know a lot of people are like, "Mayesh lachim Tomer." I'm like, but the ones who get it, like people who are in it now and who have been like, you know, watching my content for a while, they're like, "Oh, what a fucking Tomer. Oh, such a Tomer move." So
it totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. Like,
thank
I can
you.
See
I'm
what
glad it. I'm glad it resonates.
And you did a good job. It does.
Have you guys
oh my God.
Any Tomers? Like, I'm sure you've had experience with, you know, just an Israeli guy who's hot, and you're just like, well, he looked nice, but beyond that, there wasn't much else. I'm sure you've had that.
I have definitely have had that. He was actually in America. He really? Had an earring, mm-hmm. had the earring stitch going on, wore the skinny jeans,
yep.
tight shirts.
Yep.
I was like, really, I really liked him. And I'm like, what? I was like, why? Like, he was kind of boring. And I was like, mm-hmm. you know, when you're like forcing it because he's like hot and Israeli, but he was
yep.
boring AF. I don't know what happened, but he came to America like studying, and I was just like into it. So we had some fun for a bit. And then, there's nothing up there.
yeah, that sounds so. You've had your Tomer experience. I think we all have. I always find that Israeli guys in America or abroad, they're like a little bit hotter, but it's like you have America glasses on or you have like Chul glasses on. So they're not actually that hot in Israel. But when you're abroad and you hear somebody speaking Hebrew and you get that like, you know, feeling, you're just like, all right, I'll go for it. You're Israeli. Fuck it. Yeah, let's go.
Exactly. You get, like, feel homey. Like, oh, so like we could talk about Jewish stuff together.
Exactly.
Like-
exactly. But he probably wouldn't date him in Israel. It's just because he's there.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like a 6 in America and like a 3 in Tel Aviv. You know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, when I went on my post-army trip in South America, like that whole when I was in the army, I was just dating American guys. And then when I got there, I was like, this is my family. And I was so into the Israeli guys. And my friend that I was traveling with is like, what is going on with you? I'm like, I don't know. They're just so much hotter abroad. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it can't really be explained. But yeah, verbalized
it. When I was living in New York for 2 years, it was like 2015, 16, 17-ish time. I went on a couple dates with Israeli guys who just like were not that hot, but I was just like, I wasn't interested in like, I call them Joshes. I usually classify guys by a name where there's like
I
the Josh
it.
Type who's like, where'd you go to camp? And like, I'm allergic to gluten, but I live in Murray Hill. And like I went to Syracuse and like, I was in a frat. And it's just like, okay, Josh, like I'd rather be with a fucking Tomer than a Josh. But like, you know, yeah, they're just, so I went out with these Israeli guys who were like, oh, it's not a Josh. I'd rather be with a Tomer than a Josh.
Got you.
Moving away from dating. We also saw that you made a lot of content about Israeli bureaucracy and the worst fucking offices here, which I could totally relate to because I have cried in government offices and watched people have breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So what's like the worst bureaucratic office you've been to? Tell us what went down. Would you ever go back?
Okay, for sure. Okay, it's a tie between Misrad Apnim, the Ministry of Absorption, and Misrad Rishui, the DMV.
What's the first one? What is absorption?
It's basically like the place where you go to take care of all of your passport stuff, your tudat zehut, your tudat, what's the one you get? Tudat Ma'avar. It's where you get your work visas. It's just all of that immigration and absorption. One time I went there and I stood in the wrong line for 3 hours without knowing it. And then by the time I actually figured out I was in the wrong line, the fucking place was closing because, you know, they work the most random hours and they were like, sorry, en mal asot, come back later. And I'd say another one was when I tried to get a driver's license here, you have 5 years after you make Aliyah to switch over your license. And I didn't do that in the first 3 years. And then after that, I went to New York for a couple years. And then by the time I came back, that time frame was over. So I tried to get a license here and I have to start from scratch. I have to take all of the driver's license tests. I have to do the in-person driving exam. And I went 2 years ago and I have not gone back and I still don't have a license. So yeah.
Oh, how do you get around the city? You don't need a car, right? You just use public transportation.
Yeah, so the bus is a pretty traumatizing experience if you have to take it day to day. My thoughts and prayers are with you. I am so lucky that I live really close to my office. It's about a 15-minute walk maximum through like a really nice part of Tel Aviv. And I recently started riding corkinets, like electric scooters. So that's been great.
Yes.
I always wear a helmet.
Where do you get the helmet from?
So
where do you get the helmet?
I accidentally stole it. So I don't want to get arrested, but they do. Some of them do have helmets on them. One time I unlocked one and then I wasn't able to put it back on. And then I just kept it until I buy my own. So I do plan to buy my own. I just, you know, but now they have helmets on the scooters on some of them, but I don't want to get lice. So I just took one in the meantime and I will give it back when I buy my own.
You're borrowing it.
I'm borrowing it for safety. But I was a big scooter hater for a while. And then I got on when I was like, this is the greatest fucking way to get around. And now I take one to work almost every day.
And you don't need a driver's license, you know? In Tel Aviv, it's so nice.
Yeah.
But
if you want to like take leave trips. The city and take trips, you're kind of relying on other people, but it's fine. I have plenty of friends. Or fuck buddies that'll, you know, take care of those needs, you know?
You just need a fuck buddy on call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just share a piece of advice with the listeners?
Yeah, let's do.
Ladies, gentlemen, whoever's listening. If you're going to have like a long-term fuck buddy, here's a couple requirements. Make sure he has a car and can take you to IKEA. Okay?
Yes.
Make sure that like don't have a fuck buddy or a situationship or whatever with a dude who's not hot. I mean, like, what the fuck is the point of that? I just never understand. Like, I'd rather get my heart broken if I'm going to by like someone who is nice to look at than like someone who is just not, you know, and I see this happening a lot. If you're going to go that route and you're going to, you know, hook up and whatever, just at least make sure you're getting something out of it. Like that he has a car, that he'll help you, you know, with tasks.
He has money.
Yeah. Or that like he can help you with, you know, yell at your landlord in Hebrew if you need it or just like something. Just at least make it useful. You
make
know?
It worth your time. You know what I mean? Exactly. It needs to be worth your time. You're not going to go for someone who's not cute.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of girls that go for medium ugly guys and they kind of get to where they convince themselves that they even like them. And then like after the guy pursues them, and then they like – then the guy, when they finally get them, they run in the other direction, which I see happen a lot with my own friends and sometimes even me. So we really do need to take that advice because we're not internalizing it.
Just – I mean, there's so many hot guys here. Like you're wasting your time if you're not taking advantage of that. I just don't see the point in fucking around with, you know, somebody who isn't even hot, especially if he's not fucking nice to you. Like –
oh my God.
Everybody should like he should be nice to you regardless, but like if you're gonna fuck around at least.
If you're gonna be with someone,
do it right. Get something out of it. You know? I don't know.
We're gonna make that the quote.
Right. Like have him come over and hang some fucking shelves or like translate some, you know, Hebrew shit for you or like drive you to IKEA, whatever it is, just like
do my laundry.
Yeah, dude, come on now. Anyways, that's something that I
feel like. What's the best thing that you've gained from a Yaziz? Could you like class, like if you think about it?
Yeah, so I would say like my Yaziz is pretty reliable person. And when I, if God forbid something were to go down and I were to call this person up, like there, he's there. Like he's a helpful person. He lives close by. One time he helped me move, which was huge. So shout out to you if you're listening to this. I'm still grateful for that. Stuff like that, you know, like he's just helpful.
Why aren't you guys like, how is it just like, I feel like you guys are really good friends that like hook up, but how is there not much, anything more to that?
It's a good question.
It's hard.
Yeah. Like I just don't think that either of us wants to be in a relationship. I know he doesn't want to be in a relationship in general, in life. And don't think that we would necessarily want to be in a relationship with each other. Part of the fun is that it's hot because there's an element of a chase. I have to be honest. Like,
it is,
you know,
fun. It is really fun. You're right. Yeah. But the best parts are the chase or the beginning of the relationship. Because now I'm in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for a year. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, what's like, it's fun. I always have him, thank goodness. But it's like, there's no chase. It's not like, ooh, do you like me? Do you not? Like, do you want to do this or not? Like, it's just like so comfortable, which is good in a sense, but also it's not like, you know,
it's not as sexy.
It's not sexy. I agree.
Yeah. Sometimes I do have to admit though, that like I have to check myself and I'm like, okay, as long as this doesn't get too comfortable where, you know, this Yaziz situation prevents you from meeting somebody who might be, you know, whatever. It's never gotten to that. Like that's not what it is. But that would be my advice to anybody in a Yaziz situation where it's just kind of like, you know, that they're on speed dial and they'll always kind of be around. Just make sure that you're not pointing all of your direction towards them. But yeah, I think there's just a mutual understanding and at the end of the day, it is a type of relationship. It's not a relationship. It's certainly not monogamous, but you know, what we have, we have. And I think it's a kind of an exception to the rule sort of situation where, you know, it just works.
Recently adopted a dog. We see him over there. Has he become your first love? Has he like gone in between the two of you? How has he affected the relationship?
You know what's so great about him is that like I refer to him as like the banks of the river, because there's certain things that like you just can't really go overboard with when you have a dog or when you have, you know, something or someone who's relying on you. You know, and he keeps me helps me get up early in the morning and makes it so that I can't stay out, you know, partying too late or whatever it is, you know, he's the best. He's just such a good boy. And, you know, when you come here as an hola or by yourself and you make aliyah without family here, you know, something like having a dog is just a great experience. And if I would have known, how happy he would have made me, I would have adopted a dog a long time ago, but it wouldn't be Teddy. So, I officially became Kayla Vivian when I adopted a dog. Yeah, it was sealed at that moment. Do you guys have any pets?
God, I'm really. I'm in the city and it's like crazy busy here and like, I'm out too. It's smart. Like I'm out too much. I would have to really take care of it and be home for the dog or cat, you know, I travel a lot. So I just can't right now.
Yeah, I totally get that.
I never owned one, but I always end up living. I still have roommates, which is fun and not fun at the same time. But in the past 2 years, I've lived with two different dogs and two different cats. So currently I'm living with Snickers, the cat, and she's crazy. Nice. Yeah.
And then it's someone else's responsibility, but you can enjoy the benefits of it. That's always good.
Yeah. 100%. What's your favorite? You said you go out a lot. What's your favorite club, bar in Tel Aviv, in Israel?
Yeah. So I love to go to Everybody calls it bicicleta, but I always call it bicicleta on Nachal Binyamin. Absolutely love it. They have a killer margarita. There's a bartender there, and she's so fucking cool. And she saw me there a couple times a week with a different dude. This was a while back. It was before Corona, but she saw me a couple times in 1 week in the same outfit, in my date outfit, but with different dudes. And she didn't call me out.
Love it.
So shout out to all the bartenders who have seen me multiple times with different dudes at the same bar and are just like, I see you, girl. So I love going there. I've been on many a date there, good and bad. I really like Night Kitchen, Mitbach Laila, because they have the sharing menu and it comes with unlimited cocktails. And I'm really digging that place as well lately. So it's a good like fourth or fifth date. Definitely not first date, because dinner can be a little bit too much on a first date. Yeah.
So your go-to is the bar?
Yeah, I love Bicicleta. I absolutely love it. And they have a great happy hour. I just can't go wrong. Like,
yeah. I tried going there once and they were too packed, so that's how you know it's good.
Yep. And it's hard to find good margaritas in Tel Aviv, and they're one of the places that has really good margaritas.
Oh, okay. I'm coming and not coming soon. I'm going to Israel in next summer, so
we'll have to rendezvous. Yeah. Basically,
I know.
Take some shots and have some margaritas.
100%. Okay, so I want to talk. Do you have any tips about, you know, making Aliyah in your 20s, or things that you wish you could have done or should have done beforehand, or what it's like? Because we also have a lot of American followers. Some are like thinking about going to Israel and like just wondering.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest piece of advice that I could give is that it's certainly challenging, but trying your best to learn Hebrew and make Israeli friends is seriously so, so important. I notice that the large majority of people who end up leaving after 2-3 years, it's because they never really truly integrated into Israeli life. And that's okay. Not everybody needs to stay here forever, but I think that's the biggest thing that I always notice, you know, of people who don't really have a lot of Israeli friends, who don't really truly integrate. If you really want to make it here and you really want to make it worthwhile, it takes a lot of chutzpah, and
it's hard,
you know. You got to step up, and at a certain point, you have to stop comparing it to America or wherever you come from. You know, you have to stop being like, well, in America, it's this way. Well, you're not in America anymore. You know, like, you got to take the things that are wonderful about your American culture and Israeli culture and try to find a way to combine those in a really great way.
That was an amazing answer. Really. I love it.
I hope it helps.
Because you can't compare them. You really can't compare America and Israel.
You can't.
And I was – no, you can't. They're very different. And, yeah. If someone does think that they're trying to go to another America, they're just going to be annoyed and, like, upset.
Yeah, I see that a lot. It's like, well, how come it doesn't work this way? And it's like, because it fucking doesn't. Like, you live in the Middle East. I get it. There's no Trader Joe's and customer service fucking sucks. We can still complain about it because complaining makes you genuinely Israeli. But sometimes at a certain point, you have to accept Israelis are gonna Israeli. You know what I mean? That's just how it's gonna be.
Yeah.
It's just how it's gonna be. So the sooner you can accept that, the easier you'll be able to integrate.
You gotta roll with the punches.
Yeah, you do. You really do. It's worth it though, because, you know, I'd rather. There's a saying that Israelis say, like, Americans are nice, but they're not good. Israelis aren't nice, but they're good at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a controversial thing. I'm not fully like on board with it. Like, I do think America, you know, whatever. But, you know, I remember times when I was living in New York and people would be whizzing by me when I had like bags full of groceries. No one would stop and offer to help. I would be crying on the subway because I was just so sad and lonely, and no one would fucking, you know, even look at you because they think that you're gonna, that you're a crazy person. Here,
yeah.
If I'm walking down the street crying, I'm gonna have 10 different people stop me, ask me if I'm okay, and I'll probably have an invite to somebody's, you know, softa's house for Shabbat dinner at the end of the day. You know, I just
love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they might shove you on the bus, but at the end of the day, like they'll fucking save your life if they have to. So,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
I love that about Israel. That's the best part about Israel.
Yeah.
Just like, everyone loves each other in a way.
Yeah, there's definitely
there more for each other.
Of like a collective well-being that I think for the most part, obviously there's tons of problematic things that happen here every day, but a collective well-being that people really work hard to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
It's the more family-oriented, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, and like we saw that with Corona, even though it was a shit show, people at the end of the day, everybody, you know, kind of got through it together for the collective good with many, many moments of balagan. But, you know, we were vaccinated before anybody else, or we got herd immunity before anybody. It was, you know, stuff like that makes you go, okay, all right, it's for the greater good.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
So we have this thing called Kosh Girl of the Week where we choose someone to like highlight for dating purposes. And I know you said you have this thing going on, but it's not exclusive. So you could still be our Kosh Girl of the Week.
Okay.
Kosh is in kosher. So we want to know what you're looking for in a dude, who's your ideal guy. And like also tell us more about yourself that you haven't already, because you opened up a lot, so we already know a lot about you.
Yeah. So, hi, my name's Margot. I'm 33 years old, and I'm a Virgo with a Scorpio rising and a Scorpio moon.
Oh, my God.
Do you even know what that means?
Oh,
what does that mean?
I very much do. I'm really into astrology.
You're a horoscope girl.
Well, not horoscopes, because horoscopes are nonsense. I'm an astrology girl. Horoscopes can apply to anybody, anything. But I really love astrology, but it's, and I don't know. I love guys that are hot with a good sense of humor. And, you know, I put a lot of my life on the internet, and that's something that anybody who dates me is going to have to be cool with. But I think it also filters out a lot of people who aren't right for me, because, you know, if they don't like me making silly, controversial videos on the internet, then that's kind of, they're not going to be compatible with me. I keep Shabbat, so it's one of the most important aspects of my life. I look forward to Shabbat every week without exceptions. So it's not necessarily that I am looking to date somebody who keeps Shabbat. Not necessarily that, but somebody who's open to it, who's respectful of it, and who can kind of fit into that nicely. I'm just an Eshet Chayil looking for a hot mensch, you know?
You are. Oh my God, I didn't know you keep Shabbos. I love it.
Oh yeah. It's funny. I say I put the hoe in Shomer Shabbat.
Oh my God. That is so freaking good. Okay, we might have to put that as the title for the episode.
Yeah, I'm like,
I love it.
A freak in the week and a, I haven't worked this phrase out yet, but you know what I mean. It's like,
and then she's Kyle on Shabbos.
Yes.
No, me and Jory we're always bitching about like guys that don't respect Shabbat because we're also super into it and we talk about it all the time.
It's
so
hard.
We
totally
It is. I've had a lot of experiences with dudes where it just didn't. I mean, obviously, it wasn't going to work out. I wouldn't want it to work out with somebody who wasn't respectful of Shabbat, but where it was just like, nah, dog. Like, I don't care about like. Again, like I said, they don't have to be 100% shomer, and I'm not necessarily looking to date somebody who's like ultra super,
super
from honestly. But if you're respectful and you can get down with that, and you're not like making me feel bad because I'm not going to drive or I'm not going to whatever, then
We can vibe. We can vibe, dude.
I love it. Well, where can our listeners find you?
Sure.
You have a lot of different places, a ton of different social media outlets that you have. Yeah, so give them all to us.
Yeah. So you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram. My handle is Margot Explains It All. My name has a silent T at the end. It's Margot Explains It All on TikTok and Instagram. I also have a podcast called Kiss in Tel Aviv, as you mentioned earlier. First and only dating, sex, and relationships podcast, and it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. And on Twitter, and I think on Twitter I'm Margot Tuito, Touitou.
I love that. Okay. Well, yay! Thank you so much for coming on board with us.
I had so much fun. It's so nice to have a conversation with people, especially on the podcast mic, and to see your beautiful faces and to hear your voices and to just like meet more people who have this shared common experience of Israel and Judaism and being women. It's so cool. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. I really enjoyed.
Of course. Of course. We'll have to do another episode because I feel like we have more to talk about.
Yeah. I'd love to do that.
Yalla. Yeah. Okay. Amazing.
Cool. Bye.